The book of Malachi, chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. Let's again this evening stand together in honor of the reading of God's Word. Malachi chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. This is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. And what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with wrong, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. Lord, as we review tonight what happened in marriages in Israel, how they went outside of those marriages and took the daughters of foreign gods to come in, how they destroyed marriages. And Lord, what you have to say about that this evening. We are mindful not only in our country, but all over the world tonight. We're mindful of how marriage is even disdained. We certainly realize the hurt that comes through its disruption. And Lord, we pray that this word from Malachi tonight might be a word that will speak to our culture as well. So, Holy Spirit, we look to you in this. We want to be not as those who disregarded you, but we want to be those who hear and listen. And so, Lord, may this be of help to each one. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, our last time in Malachi, we looked in verses 10 through 13 and saw the disruption of the covenant. Verse 10, at the very beginning, we saw the design for Israel, that Israel was to be one, the unity of the people on the basis of the oneness of God. But then we saw that Israel was not acting as one. There was division in Israel. The rest of verse 10 through verse 13, there was treachery, which was covenant violation because of people's harsh treatment of one another, and especially the harsh treatment of the men's wives. And that came through their marriage with daughters of foreign gods. We saw that when you marry, you marry someone's religion as well. And so for Jewish men, that was definitely a violation of the covenant with God. So we'll follow up on that this evening, but we see now the illustration of the covenant is marriage. The Lord loves, in verse 11, He loves the holy thing. We talked about that last time. In verse 11, the Hebrew word kodesh, New American Standard translates it the sanctuary, but it's literally the holy thing. It could be the sanctuary or the temple area, but probably is God's covenant and God's own holiness, which in this context includes marriage. So God loves the holy thing. That would include God loves godly marriage. He loves it. He chooses that as the way. It was His design from the beginning. So the Lord loves that. We see in verse 14, marriage is a covenant relationship. It's a covenant relationship. Covenant relationships are intended to be unbreakable. So, as a covenant relationship, marriage is vitally important and loved by the Lord. The concept of marriage as a divine covenant has virtually been lost. Over the last two generations, it has been largely disregarded, and that concept is virtually gone. You don't even hear people discussing it as such. But that's what we're looking at tonight, marriage as a covenant relationship, and how the Lord views this. Now, we saw last time in verse 13 that because of Israel's treachery in covenant violation, the Lord was not accepting their offerings or sacrifices with favor. And verse 13 says that. What we're looking at tonight, beginning at verse 14, is a question. It deals with the reasons for the Lord's disfavor, not accepting those offerings and sacrifices. The question at the beginning of verse 14 is, for what reason? This is the fourth rebellious question. We will see more, but this is the fourth rebellious question on the part of the people of Israel to the Lord. The Lord says, I don't regard your offerings. And they say, for what reason? Why? Why do you not accept our offerings? You can almost hear the tone of voice. God, you don't have the right to not accept our offerings. Who do you think you are? And of course, the answer is, I am Yahweh. That's who I am. So he does have that right. Why? Just to look back a little bit, the first rebellious question we saw in chapter 1, verse 2, they asked, how have you loved us? Questioning, even denying the love of God for them. In chapter 1, verse 6, at the end of verse 6, they asked, how have we despised your name? The Lord says, you don't honor me in verse 6. You don't respect me. The priests despise my name. And they say, who, us? How have we despised your name? We didn't do anything wrong. It's a rebellious question. The third rebellious question was in chapter 1, verse 7. How have we defiled you? How have we defiled you? And the answer was, they were defiling what was placed on the altar. They were defiling the offerings and the sacrifices that were being made. And the rest of chapter 1 described that. Now we come to the fourth rebellious question. For what reason? Lord, why don't we have your favor? And in the rest of verse 14, we see the Lord's answer to that question. Here is why. Here are the reasons for the Lord's disfavor. Verse 14, because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth. The Lord is a witness to the marriage relationship. The Lord, Yahweh, is a participant in the marriage covenant. The marriage covenant is not just a covenant between the man and the woman. Included in that covenant is the Lord. We sometimes speak of and pray, especially at weddings, that the Lord is the unseen guest at every meal. The Lord is there. He is the witness of all that takes place in the marriage. You say, well, what happens in our marriage isn't anybody else's business. Well, except Yahweh is the one who created marriage. He is the one who established it as a covenant relationship. And so he is a witness to that covenant all the time. Now, how many people do you think acknowledge that today? I dare say, not very many. There aren't very many left. We're in a sad time. But the Lord is a witness to the marriage relationship. He has seen, he's telling the men of Israel, he has seen the way they have dealt with their wives. He has observed it. This isn't hidden from him. Second part of the answer is the Lord has seen how Israel had dealt treacherously, verse 14, regarding the marriage relationship. Now, we talked about dealing treacherously back up in verses 10 and 11. It has to do with a disregard of God's covenant. They dealt treacherously. It's a covenant violation. And they were violating the covenant regarding their marriage. And it says, between you and the wife of your youth. Now, in this context, the wife of your youth was their original Jewish wife, the wife of their youth. How were they violating their marriage covenant? How were they dealing treacherously? By taking pagan wives. Back up in verse 11, we've seen it. They were dealing treacherously. with the wife of their youth and will gain maybe some insight into what they were thinking here tonight. Third part of the answer, still in verse 14, Israel had disrupted the covenant by disrupting the marriage relationship. When you disrupt the marriage relationship, you disrupt the covenant with God. Because marriage is part of that covenant. And Israel had disrupted that. Now we see in verse 14 as well, the Lord's intent for marriage. The end of verse 14. She is your companion and your wife by covenant. The word companion, habaret, has to do with being linked. And in this case, the idea is the husband and the wife are linked by a covenant pledge. I know we live in a time as well where the idea of a godly marriage ceremony is not considered very important in the eyes of many people. But there is importance to it because in the ceremony, there is the establishment of a covenant pledge. Sometimes you call that exchanging vows in the marriage ceremony. It's a covenant pledge. It's a covenant pledge that is designed to be unbreakable. If the concept is that it could be breakable, hey, if we have to, we can get out of it, then don't make the covenant in the first place, which is another way of saying don't get married if you're not going to keep that covenant. So the covenant had been disrupted by the disrupting of the marriage relationship, but the Lord intended for the husband and the wife to be companions, linked by covenant, and this is a covenant relationship. The end of verse 14 is very clear on that. So, when Israel asks for what reason, Lord, why won't you receive our offerings? Why is there disfavor? The Lord's answer is, I've been watching. I've been there. I have seen the way you conduct your marriage. And you have been dealing treacherously as covenant violators, disrupting my intent for marriage. You're disrupting something very important. And because of that, you do not have my favor. You don't have it. Now, this then provides the basis for warnings. Warnings of the Lord's disfavor. Not experiencing the favor of the Lord ought to be terrifying. It ought to be. If there's anything God's people should desire, it is God's favor, that He would help. When the Lord says, I won't help, and all your offerings and sacrifices won't make a bit of difference because you're just abiding in your sin, that's quite serious. So the warnings of the Lord's disfavor. The first of these warnings at the beginning of verse 15, no one who deals treacherously in marriage is listening to the Spirit. Now, verse 15 is actually verses 15 and 16 are challenging verses to translate and understand. But we're going to do the best we can tonight. A lot of our versions at verse 15 say, not one who has done so, who has a remnant of the Spirit. That makes it sound like these men who are dealing treacherously with their wives are not saved. They don't have the Holy Spirit at all. And in the case of some of them, that might be. But that probably is not the intent of this. Probably the intent is they should be listening to the Spirit. Listening to the Spirit through God's word of His covenant concerning marriage. And so anyone who is dealing treacherously with his wife is not listening to the Word of God, is not listening to the covenant of God, and therefore is not listening to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, if you have the King James Version, there's a statement there that says that God made marriage one, and they're getting that from the word one, where it says, but not one has done so. The point there is the violation of marriage and the breakup of marriage violates God's intent of the covenant and therefore is not of the Holy Spirit. That's a serious warning. A godly person will never do this. Someone who is listening to the Word of God, who is listening to the Spirit of God will not deal treacherously with their spouse. They will not. And so this warning comes to play. When this is happening, the Lord says, you know what? Somebody isn't listening to me. You're not listening. If you're not listening to the Word of God, even concerning marriage, can you expect the Lord to show you favor in other areas of your life? And the answer is no. So that's a warning. Now, the next statement in verse 15 is even a little more difficult. What did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? Now, here's the idea of it. One dealing treacherously in marriage, in this case, a man taking a pagan wife, or even more than one, pagan wives, he may try to excuse himself by saying his intent is to have godly offspring. I need more wives because I'm trying to produce a lot more godly children. Now, you ought to hear that and go, what a bunch of barf that is. But that apparently was the excuse they were making. In commentaries by rabbis, it's suggested that this is using Abraham as an example. Okay, remember, Abraham went to one who wasn't his wife in order to produce godly offspring. It didn't work, did it? And so Abraham is considered by some of the rabbis an example of this. But they were doing that. You know, I've heard pretty much all of them over the years, the excuses that are made. And this can still be one of them. You know, I want to have children, I want to have godly children, and my wife won't give them to me. Or my husband isn't interested in this. So this is a reason for me to violate my marriage covenant and seek godly offspring elsewhere. The point in verse 15 is, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. The next warning, also in verse 15, is take heed then to your spirit. Take heed to your own heart, your own mind, your own spirit. This is a spiritual issue. Say, well, but I have a good excuse. I'm trying to produce godly children. No, there are no excuses. No excuses. Take heed to your spirit. Listen to the Lord. Next warning at the end of verse 15. Do not deal treacherously, that is, to violate your marriage covenant, against the wife of your youth, that is, the original Jewish wife. Do not deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. Don't do that by violating your marriage relationship. Don't do that by taking on other wives. Don't do that in any way. Don't be a covenant breaker, is the point. This is a spiritual issue. Now, if none of that is clear enough, and I suspect it's very clear, but if none of that is clear enough, look at the next warning, the beginning of verse 16. The Lord, the God of Israel, hates divorce. I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. I hate it. I do not choose it. I choose godly marriage. I love godly marriage. I hate divorce. Now, the word divorce, shalach in Hebrew, it is not as it has kind of become in our day, a word for attorneys. It's not designed to be a legal word for attorneys to use. You know, we come up with all kinds of little, you know, sidestepping things. You know, well, I'm not going to be legally divorced, but I've been separated for 40 years. You know, if you're separated, you're divorced. That's what the word means, to separate, to become unlinked. It's the opposite of habaret, to be a companion, linked by covenant to be shalacht, divorced, is to be somehow outside of that covenant relationship. It's not something to fight about in a courtroom. It is a reality. Which is to say, there may be a lot more divorced people than you realize. There may be divorced people who still say, but I'm legally married. But they're divorced from their spouse. There is no distinction in the Bible between separation and divorce, because the word divorce means to separate. They are the same thing. And the Lord hates that. He has designed in the marriage covenant for the man and the wife to be companions, to be together in this. And he hates it when it goes the other way. So it's very clear and it's very strong. This verse is not here to offend anyone. This verse is here to help and instruct everyone concerning their marriage. But you know, when you read verse 16, divorce is not the only thing the Lord hates. Verse 16 says, I hate divorce and him who covers his garment with wrong. The Lord hates the one who covers his garment with wrong, or quite accurately, with violence. Now, the garment is a picture of the covering protection of his marriage. In this case, the man is staining the covering protection of his marriage with wrong, with violence. Now, violence might seem like too strong a word, but I think it is safe to say the consequences of divorce are violent. Maybe not always physically, but they are hurtful. They are damaging. There is shame in it. There's hurt in it. And the Lord hates the one who brings that about. Now that's a tough statement. The Lord doesn't want to see. I mean, here are all of these Jewish women married to Jewish men who are being tossed over for pagan wives. You don't think that hurts? That's hurtful. What consequences does that have for children, for families? What consequences does that have for the economy, for the whole culture? When marriage as a covenant ordained by God, when that crumbles, the entire society crumbles. It just does. Because if that covenant is not maintained, no covenant can be maintained. Say, well, I'm not very good in my marriage, but I'll be a good citizen. Oh? Well, if you don't keep one covenant relationship, what makes anybody think you're going to keep another one? It destroys society. It destroys communities. It destroys businesses. It destroys churches. Yeah. I've said this for years, and I've taken a lot of heat for it. But remember, Jesus is the one, and we've seen it when we talked about the mystery of Christ and his church. The church is the bride of Christ. When someone leaves a church, that's a covenant violation. That's a divorce. It is. And I've said it, and I've been sadly proven correct way too many times. I don't enjoy being correct on this, but I've said, when someone leaves the church, say, okay, it's only a matter of time before their marriage crumbles. Why? Because divorce, separation, is part of their character. That's why the Lord says, take heed to your spirit. This is a spiritual matter. The Lord hates divorce, and he hates the consequences of it and the one who does that. Now, I'm just saying what verse 16 says. It's there. You read it. You come to your own conclusions. The end of verse 16, the warnings of verse 15, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. Those warnings are repeated, which should tell us that becomes the heart of the matter. This is a spiritual issue. Now, this message tonight is to explain what Malachi is saying. This message is not a message on everything the Bible says about marriage and divorce. There are hours worth of biblical information that we could go into about this tonight. And I know, you know, people want to ask, well, what about this? What if this happens? And, you know, what are the, aren't there exceptions and all that? Well, yeah, there is teaching and instruction about all of that. We're not dealing with that tonight. We're dealing with what Malachi says. But let's understand that none of those other teachings that are all in your Bible can contradict what Malachi says. And what Malachi says doesn't contradict those other teachings as well. These things are consistent. The Lord is holding godly marriage up high as something that He loves and that He has established as a covenant relationship. And He is involved in the covenant. He is the unseen participant in every conversation, the unseen guest at every meal. The Lord is the one who establishes the marriage covenant. If you mess with that, you're messing with Him. And so may this tonight be an encouragement to hold high godly marriages. Heavenly Father, I pray that this word will be of help. I pray, Lord, that Your people will be a shining testimony in a very confused and dark and evil world. May Your people be a shining testimony of what it is like to maintain Your covenant marriage, a godly marriage. For that is the illustration of the covenant for Israel in the Old Testament, and it is the mystery of Christ and His church, that the marriage relationship reveals the love of Jesus for His church. So we thank You for Your word tonight. I pray that as we go, that the testimonies will be clear, that ministry will occur, that relationships will be built and grow, that healing will happen where it's needed in marriages and other relationships as well. Lord, may that be the case, and may this week be a great celebration for us of the person of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for the ministries of this week, including the Christmas Eve service on Thursday evening. We pray for the children as they'll be presenting a nativity play. We pray that there will be those here to see it and to hear the message and to adore and worship you in this season of the year. Thank you for our day together, and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.